Good morning. Welcome to worship on this mid-October Sunday morning. We're in the middle of the month already. My gosh, time flies. Lots going on, but good to see you here this morning. Good news announcements that you wish to share? David? That's good news, yeah. Congratulations. Others? Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks great. Thank you for taking the time to do that as we get closer to Thanksgiving. And fall harvest, it's a time of giving thanks. Others? Oh, nice. Well, you know, they made progress, though. I mean, this was the first time in how many years that they actually won a playoff game? And so I think back in the early 2000s, I remember right. So that's good news for the Twins. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Others. We got rain. I mean, real substantial rain. That's wonderful. I keep thinking every time I mow that I mowed last week, and this is going to be the last time. Well, guess what? No, it's going to happen at least once more. But that's okay. We needed that badly. And the farmers needed a break. You got to take a break once in a while when you're going hard at harvest time. So it's always nice to get a little rain and take a breather and fix what you haven't been able to fix as you were going through doing harvest, being out in the field. Although it's getting pretty hard anymore to keep running these new combines with all this technology. When a sensor, anything goes down, it shuts the whole machine down. I think we've overdone it a little bit, unless you're smart enough to know how to override those things. And most of us aren't. But it's good to have a break and some rain. Yes. Yes, I think so too. Yes, we did have our ask meeting with the interim conference minister Phil Hart on Thursday evening, and we'll be having the way that Phil talked as we visited probably a couple other meetings, and we will be having some just congregational meetings to get everybody on board and get input from everybody as we move this along. So, and Phil is leaving next week, I think, for Japan for a month, so we won't be meeting for a while again. The team feels good about what we're doing, where we've been, what we've accomplished, and I hope you all do too. It's important to the life of this congregation. Helen. Oh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, originally she was thinking Halloween, I think, if I remember right, so. New treatment. He's entering a new treatment regimen, so he's got to be up there while they do that. Yeah, we will when that time comes. Yesterday was the Iowa Conference annual meeting down at the Urbandale United Church of Christ in Urbandale. And no significant controversial things. We adopted a budget which is similar, just a little bit higher than last year due to staff compensation, the raises for staff, about a 2% raise for staff, which isn't going to meet the cost of living, but a little bit. I think the budget overall is like $2,000 or $6,000 higher than last year, but that's good news because that hasn't always been the case. Also, a report from the conference nominating committee or search committee for our new permanent settled conference minister is moving along. Not a lot of information about that, but they are hoping to have a candidate for a presentation at our next, well, we would vote them in at the next annual meeting, but they would probably start before that, would be by the end of this year. So that's encouraging as well. So a couple things from that meeting. Yes. Yes, they were. They were indeed. There's a thank you from Karen Dirsch, and I posted that on the bulletin board. It came in the mail on Friday. I've seen Randy Calhoun and Pat Vilsbrough, who are both very appreciative, and John Norman. John's was on my Meals on Wheels route, And I teasingly told John when I delivered, because there were a lot of cookies on that plate. I said, John, do not eat them all at once. And when I came back the next day, they were gone. So he did confess that he gave, I don't know how many cookies, but he did give some to somebody. But I don't think it was very many. But he said they were very good. So they were really appreciated. Thank you for putting those together and getting those all delivered. Oh, yes, that's something else you should share. The conference is in the process of selling the conference office. There will no longer be a physical Iowa conference office in Des Moines. We've sold one office and moved into a smaller one, and there's just the board of directors, staff doesn't feel there's a need for an actual physical office anymore. So they're cleaning house, and they were offering things for free will donations, small things that they had on display at the table there, but there are some larger pieces of furniture. I don't know if those are going to be online or not. You should have asked if they had pictures of those, but they had pictures down there, but it'd be nice for folk to be able to go online and see those. So I may have to ask somebody about that, but so that's something. I don't think the office has been sold yet, but it is coming. So what they don't get rid of, they'll have to, I don't know, move somewhere, do something with. But that's another change coming down the road for the Iowa conference. Anything else? Announcements on the back of your bulletin. Pam and I will be taking the week off. Well, Pam's working Monday and Tuesday at the library. But, so in my absence, David will lead worship next Sunday. We appreciate that and thank him for that. You're in very capable hands, as you well know. Dave Skilling will be on call if you need pastoral care of any kind. And his number is printed in the bulletin. So you won't have to call Helen. Karen will no longer be doing on call for us. Her family has suggested, let's put it nicely, gently, suggested that she not do that anymore. And really, it's time for Karen not to do that. But we've appreciated her ministry in our absence. We're still responsible for Meals on Wheels tomorrow. We've been delivering for the last 2 weeks. It's been great. But if you're able, I think Don Marine is going to do a route, and Shelley Terhark has signed up for one. There's one left, and I don't mind doing that. It only takes a half hour, so I can take care of that tomorrow. Shelley said she'd call if she wasn't able to do that. But so thank you for everybody that was able to help with that. That's much appreciated. Trunk or Treat is coming up quickly. If you have bags of candy to donate, bring them in. There are several on the counter, on the east counter in the kitchen, so just bring them up and put them there. And if you have an idea for a trunk, I think they're still taking reservations. It sounds like it's going to be expanded this year, and not only the block in front of the Methodist Church, but the block in the next one east or west. So that's coming right up. I mentioned last Sunday that I used to print the other lectionary readings for Sundays, and that's on the back of your bulletin as well. And looking at the week ahead, nothing from Sunday to next Sunday. Now, those who are able, please stand for the call to worship.
Here in this place, let me try that again. Here in this place, we come to worship the living God. In God we hope, in the Creator of love we live. Here in this sacred space, in these very moments, we are invited to gather with joy in our hearts. In Jesus the way we rejoice. In Jesus our brother, grace as near as our hearts. Here on this day of gentleness and beauty, we are filled with the peace of God. In the Spirit we find our path. In the Teacher of hope we learn to serve. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is number 56. Let's join together in our opening prayer. Holy Spirit, Heavenly God, shine upon us with the wisdom of ancient words. Enlighten our minds that we may perceive your presence. Strengthen our resolve that we may press toward growth in love and faith. Help us grow closer to your likeness each and every day.
Come on up, Jack, Sam, Greta. Am I sitting right here? Okay. Well, how are you this morning?
Good.
And you've had a cousin's weekend?
Yeah.
And how has that been?
Good.
Have they all gone home now?
No.
No, so you're going back, right? To be with cousins?
They're coming
to whose house today?
Oh,
they're going back to their house today. Yep, it's time to do that because I imagine they have school tomorrow, right? So what have you been doing with your cousins? Playing what? Eating too much sugar? Yeah, okay. You know that's a myth, right? That's from what I read. Sugar doesn't get you any wilder than you already are or already will be. Myself included. But that doesn't mean you should eat all the sugar that you can because, you know, sugar is not all that good for you. A little bit, okay. But a lot, no. And probably make you sick anyway. That wouldn't be fun either. You feel sick right now? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, have fun with your cousins. It's always fun to get together with cousins. I remember that when I was your age. We had fun. No, you got kind of wild too, right? You haven't gotten wild, have you? Maybe. Well, okay. That's all right, too. In moderation. Okay, I got the red bag. Any guesses as to what's in the red bag today? Who's going to guess first? What do you think, Jack? Something squishy. And the bag's still dry, so it's not squishy, and you squish it, and you break it. Sam's looking. You see anything in there? What do you think, Sam? What's in there? Okay, two votes for something squishy. A figure? Okay, like a squishy figure. A squishy figure. Well, maybe. We should probably see. But first, before we open the bag, a story about Moses. You know about Moses, right? Moses and leading Israel out of Egypt, and Moses goes up on the mountain and brings down the Ten Commandments. Well, this is the next story. Moses goes back up on the mountain, and the people wait down on the mountain below as Moses goes up to have a talk with God, and he doesn't come back for a long time. You know this story? Okay, well, let's continue. So the people are getting tired of waiting for Moses, and they're starting to talk amongst themselves, and they're saying, you know what? I don't think Moses is coming back. And we need to worship. We need to worship something. And evidently, since Moses is not coming back, we used to figure out something else to worship. So what happens? You remember? Yeah, they get a bunch of gold and stuff together. Well, actually, and Moses' brother. Think of that. Moses' brother sells him out. Aaron says, here, bring me your jewelry, your gold, all this stuff. We'll melt it and we'll make an idol to worship. And they made a golden calf, although a pig would have been just as good. So they're going to worship this golden calf. So they bring Aaron, Moses' brother, all of this stuff, and he melts it down, and he makes a golden calf. Now, I tried. I don't have a golden calf, but I do have a squishy spotted cow. So it's kind of like a golden calf, although it's not golden. But it gives us an idea. And all the people bow down to this cow and worship the cow. Now, that's kind of silly, isn't it? Because we're not supposed to worship other things. We're supposed to worship
God.
Yeah, that's the one. So, it got them in a little bit of trouble. And, Moses did come back, by the way, and he wasn't very happy about what they were doing. I don't know. It doesn't really say a long time. How long would be a long time? 100 years? That'd be a long time. Don't think it was quite that long, but could have been. Well, this is after dinosaurs. Well, just a long time. Whatever you think is a long time. It would take a while to make a golden calf to melt all that stuff down. So it's probably gone for at least a couple days, probably a little longer. But anyway, Moses comes back down the mountain after a long time, and he sees what the people are doing, and Moses isn't very happy. I wouldn't be either, would you? No. And God wasn't very happy. And so, well, the people got punished, and they should have been punished. But it also helped them to remember. Sometimes when we get punished for something that we shouldn't do, the punishment helps us to remember that, yeah, we shouldn't do that again, huh? Yeah. It's been my experience. So, we can remember that we're only supposed to worship God, pray to God, say thank you, God, for all the good stuff that God does with us and for us. I think we can remember that, can't we? Even if we only have a spotted cow. Let's pray, and it's time to go to Sunday school with Pam this morning. And are you ready? Let's pray. God, sometimes it's tempting to do things we shouldn't do and to worship things we shouldn't worship. All of us do it. Thank you for forgiving us and help us to remember that it's you who gives us all those good things and who loves us always, even when we do things we shouldn't do. Help us to remember that and to sing and praise and dance and act in the way that you would like us to be. Amen. Thanks for coming up. We'll see you. Called to have the same mind as Jesus, we often spend too much time thinking about all those ways which then lead us astray. But if we confess our sins to God, God will forgive us and strengthen us to be Jesus' sisters and brothers and siblings. So join me as we pray together our prayer of confession. You would call us to your feast, inviting God, but our busy lives keep us from responding. You remember every word we utter, every prayer we whisper, but we forget all the little ways you care for us. You would make your gentleness known through us, but we lash out in anger and fear towards others. Forgive us, God of all hope, and remember your servant Jesus. In him we can live in your way. Through him we can learn the dreams you have for us. With him we can open our arms and embrace all the people we meet. As we are forgiven by God, we can begin to reflect on all those ways in which we can live justly, act honorably, love completely. This is indeed good news for us. We are fed with grace and nourished with joy, so we may go and bring hope and peace to everyone we meet. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven.
Our first reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The realm of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call on those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Let's rise as you're able and join together in our affirmation of faith. We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all things and all that is to come. We follow Jesus, who comes to us from God and reveals God to us. He heals people and transforms lives and calls us to join in his ministry. He was crucified, died, and was raised again by God and reigns over all creation. He binds and rise with him in the service of the healing of the world. We are moved by the Holy Spirit, together with the communion of saints, as members of the body of Christ, God's holy universal church. We are confident in the forgiveness of sin, the power of resurrection, and the reality of eternal life. In all things, it is our desire to follow Jesus by the grace of the Holy Spirit for God's glory.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. As Paul does in all his letters, he's writing to churches with some advice, some observations, etc. And we pick up this particular piece of Paul's advice to the church in Philippi in chapter 4, the first 9 verses. Pay close attention to what Paul writes to the church then, what Paul writes to us now. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and whom I miss, who are my joy and my crown, stand firm in God. Loved ones, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to come to an agreement in God. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the scroll of life. Be glad in God always. Again, I say, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. God is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In studying in preparation for this morning, I ran across this quote from a man named Anton Chekhov. I did a little research on Anton. He was a 19th century Russian playwright and a short story writer. Here's the quote. Knowledge is of no value unless you put it into practice. Makes sense, doesn't it? You can know all sorts of stuff, but if you don't use that knowledge, if you don't put it into practice, not worth a darn, is it? Well, I think the same thing can be said about faith. It's not of any value unless you put it into practice. And that's Paul's message in this little piece of his letter to the church in Philippi that we shared. That was the word that stood out to me as I read that was practice. Paul encourages the church in Philippi to practice their faith, to practice those good things that we draw, that we know about our faith, that we are instructed by Jesus to do in our faith. Evidently, the church in Philippi was struggling a little bit with that. And that advice, that message from Paul to the church then is the same today for us, the church now. Practice those things. Practice your faith. Practice those good things, those good virtues, those good values, those good behaviors that we've been taught through Jesus the teacher. Now, a practice can be a noun or a verb. The definition that I looked at dictionary.com, and there are several that refer to a practice. One of the definitions is to pursue a profession. Most often we connect that to a medical practice or a law practice. We can stretch that a bit. We can stretch it a lot. The practice of ministry. The practice of discipleship. The practice of the church. Another quote from a man named Les Brown. Ever heard of Les Brown? I Googled Les Brown. There are lots of Les Browns if you Google it. But I think the one that this Les Brown is, he was an Ohio politician and a motivational speaker. And he said, everything that we do is practice for something greater than where we currently are. Practice only makes for improvement. Think about that. Everything we do, not just intentionally, but unintentionally, is practice for something greater than where we are now. Doesn't always work that way, though, does it? Everything that we do in the church, in our lives as disciples, is practice for something greater than where we currently are. We practice to improve our lives, our world, the lives of our brothers and sisters. We should be practicing every day to improve those things. And if that's the case, we're practicing right now. Even though we're sitting here in worship this morning, we're listening to the Word, we're worshiping God, we're practicing our faith to improve. Marilyn mentioned the ASK team meetings that we've had and that we're all going to be involved in shortly. More involved in. We're practicing for something greater, to improve our church, our lives together, our lives in the community and beyond. The church in Philippi needed to practice. Paul pointed that out. Evidently, Yodia and Syntyche weren't quite seeing eye to eye in the practice of faith, in the life of the church. We still have those same struggles. That can be healthy. It can also be destructive. But Paul encourages the church in Philippi to be true. Practice the things that are true. Not everything's true, we know. Practice justice. Not everything that happens to us or in the world is just. Practice what is holy. Whenever I hear the word holy, I translate that, and I read that in a book, I think by a UCC pastor. I don't remember exact book, but it was his. It says, when you hear the word holy, think other. God is holy because God is other than what the world is. Our faith is holy because it's other than what the world tries to teach us. Practice things that are worthy of praise, Paul tells the church, and not everything is worthy of praise, is it? Practice. I'm still working at the practice of ministry. Practice it every day. Not perfect yet, probably never will be. Don't expect it to be, but practice. We practice as disciples to be better disciples. We practice as the church to be a better church. Started thinking about all the hours I've spent practicing in my life. Spent lots of hours at basketball practice, at choir practice, all sorts of things. And we all do. According to Les Brown, everything that we do, every hour that we spend is practice. Hopefully for something better, something greater. One more quote, anonymous quote. Don't know who wrote it. In case you haven't figured it out, I Googled practice, quotes about practice, and I came up with a whole bunch. Here's the last one. Don't practice until you get it right. Practice until you can't get it wrong. That's the goal of us disciples. Not to practice just until we get it right, but to practice so it becomes second nature. So we can't, no matter how hard we try, get it wrong. It's the same goal of the church, God's church, to practice till we can't get God's ways wrong in our lives. and in the way we relate to others, so that our practice is always excellent and admirable and holy. Until then, practice, practice, practice. May it be so. Prayers of the people, community prayer, prayers that we lift up before God, no matter what they might be. What would you like to lift up this morning? Helen? Yes, as Dave starts a new treatment regimen, we pray for Dave and Becky and for the doctors and other medical staff that will be working with him. Lift them up in prayer. Going to be there a few weeks. Sounds like about a month. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Marilyn. Yes, prayers for Judy Thorson, her memorial service. A memorial service. There's going to be more than one. But the one for here in Algona will be the 28th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon here in our sanctuary. And then there'll be another one at a later date. I've been in conversation with her daughter, Becky. And there'll be another one later, sounds like maybe next summer, spring or summer, for friends and others up in the lakes area. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. A little harder when you're that age. But prayers for Marilyn's granddaughter, Megan, who just had her tonsils out. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Yes, prayers for all of those folk in the Middle East that are caught in the middle of that war. It's a war between Israel and Hamas. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Keeping that in mind, Russia's had a couple offensives in the last couple weeks from our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We lift up both sides of that conflict as well. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers for Mark Holmer. Mark, as you know, and Linnea have moved out to Illinois to be closer to family. And Mark had a fall back in September and really wasn't recovering very well from that. And he's discovered that he needs some back surgery and is not getting along real well. And now they're waiting to hear from their insurance company to say, tell them whether they can do that or not. So we lift up Mark and Linnea in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Yes, prayers for Tim Boyd's family. Tim's memorial service was here in our sanctuary on Friday afternoon. The flowers up then are from his service. We lift up, although Tim died at the end of June, but had to wait for a time that family could gather for a memorial service. So we lift Tim's family up in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Afghanistan. There was another earthquake in Afghanistan. They've had several over the past few weeks, and they've been pretty severe. This one this morning or last night was a 6.3 on the Richter scale, and that's a severe quake. So we lift up the people of Afghanistan as they recover and suffer from that natural disaster. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Prayers for Meals on Wheels and the Senior Center. We had our Algona Area Ministerial Association meeting this past Thursday morning, and several folk, representatives from Meals on Wheels and Center, came to talk with us about that. And they're struggling financially. They've had a substantial cut in funds, $33,000 from what they had gotten in previous years. So they're really looking and struggling with how are they going to keep the different programs running. Meals on Wheels is separate from the Senior Center, but it's housed there, and the meals are prepared there. So they're looking for things. And we know it's hard to find people to deliver meals, and some churches are not able to do that anymore or able to do it as often as they used to. So they were sharing that at their current rate of expense that they might only be able, without finding another revenue stream or some other funding, maybe only be able to offer the Meals on Wheels program for about another 8 months. So it's really a tough situation. So we lift them up in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Rain gave us a break from harvest, but it's not over. It's moving fast. I'm guessing most of the beans are out, if they're not all out, at least in this area. But still corn to do go. And so, and that also reminds me, because on the way home from Des Moines yesterday, saw several deer out and about, be looking, because they're getting driven out of the cornfields, and they're wandering around, running on the road. But prayers for the continued harvest, a safe harvest for everybody. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Please join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now present our morning offering. Join together in our prayer of dedication. Generous, loving God, for the abundant gifts in our lives, for the peace that passes all understanding, for keeping our minds and hearts in Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. Receive the gifts we bring you this day. Help us to stay focused on the things that are excellent, admirable, holy, just, righteous, and pure. Our closing song. Number 113 in your hymnal. this place, this time of worship, rejoicing in the God who loves us steadfastly, in the God who goes with us, granting us God's peace, in the God who sends us forth as disciples to practice the faith that we have. Amen.